Women are powerful and have accomplished great things. Yet, sometimes we suffer from self-doubt, fear, and limiting beliefs. We often believe that we are not good enough. These negative beliefs stop us from achieving our goals. Welcome to Sprinting to Success, a podcast dedicated to women who have experienced struggles, yet found ways to step into their power, their greatness, and learn to embrace challenges. These women will share their stories and give you insights to help you on your path so you can follow your dreams. And now, here's your host, Esme Lawrence.
Welcome. My name is Esme Lawrence, the host of this podcast, Sprinting to Success. My guest today's life journey began when she embraced modern mystery school. She has been a business developer and event professional for decades. Let's welcome Gina Almgren. Gina, welcome.
Thank you so much, Esme.
Oh, awesome. So let's just get right into it. Tell me about some of the challenges you had as a young child.
Being understood. I've always had a different way of doing things, but getting the same result. And I think I was more of an entertainment focus than anything. But just, I just really had some really mature ideas and mature thoughts when I was a young child. And I don't think that people knew how to take me quite for the age that I was.
What do you mean mature thoughts?
Just more of an understanding of how the dynamics between, you know, adults were working and their concepts of what hard work was or retirement or, you know, these things that we look forward to. And I could never understand why people were waiting to retire or couldn't wait to retire. I thought, well, why aren't you seeking joy in doing something that you want to do? And it was just, retirement's not even a concept to me, because why would you want to leave something that you love doing? And so there are just a lot of really interesting things that I noticed about adults when I was a very young child, that it's like, why do I want to be an adult?
Right. Yeah. Adults were weird.
Yeah, it didn't sound like they're really embracing life, and I don't want children because I don't like how children are being raised. And, you know, like at a very 8 years old, nope, don't want kids. And
right. That's quite young to decide if you want kids or not, because you're just a baby.
Right. Exactly.
So then move on to as a teenager, what were some of the struggles you had? Because we all have struggles as teenagers.
You know, I think my struggle as a teenager was, you know, same and not being understood, but also having a very mature outlook, not being taken seriously by, you know, my adult people around me, that I really could handle something in a very mature way. I'm not going to burn the house down. I can be left alone. You know, can I travel? No, you can't. Just not being able to have the freedom that I knew that I could manage, but that they were, I think, just being overly protective, or just didn't really see that, how could a child that young be able to manage themselves in situations? So I was kind of kept in a little bit when it came to my ability to explore. You know, I always loved to be able to see things from a different way, but I think that was really, you know, dampened for me.
Right. So your parents kind of kept you contained and safe.
Yeah, contained and safe, but really didn't see me for who I was, as somebody that wasn't going to be the one that was, you know, causing all the problems, or, you know, excessively drinking and having doing all these, you know, teenage, you know, college things that get everybody into trouble. I was more of a wallflower, sitting in paying attention to stuff more so than really participating and really learning from the standpoint of viewing.
Right. What about high school? What were some of the challenges you had in high school?
Same, just being taken seriously. One thing that followed me through high school a lot was jealousy from other people. I was easily fell into being, you know, pretty good at a lot of the things I tried, and that was really intimidating to a lot of people around me. I was, you know, one of the cuter girls, and, you know, a lot of the older boys liked me, and so a lot of the older girls wanted to be my friend, because that would mean they would be around the older boys, and you know, the older boys were just my friends, you know. There was always this kind of a weird dichotomy, like, who really is my friend, and what do they really want from me? So I kind of held back a lot in a lot of circles, so to speak.
What do you mean held back?
Just in how much I actually reached out to allow friendships to happen, because I wasn't sure what they were looking for. You know, I was always with the popular kids, and then at the same time I was with the nerds, you know, so I really kind of floated around and fit into a lot of different niches and cliques, and, you know, I had a very broad experience of everything, but I wasn't quite sure how to take everybody.
Right. Now, did you know who you are at that time in high school?
Yeah, I had a pretty clear understanding of who I was. I knew that I was a lot stronger and a lot easier at making decisions and coming from a foundation of, well, what I know right now is this is how I choose not to be treated, or this is how I choose to be treated. So yeah, I kind of stuck out a little bit that way, where, you know, I didn't muffle my voice, but at the same time, I wasn't obnoxious or standing on the soapbox, you know, stouting my stuff, but I was pretty clear and direct as to, you know, how you do business with me, so to speak, or how you treat a friend.
So you would say, you know, this is me, I'm pretty, I am smart, and this is how you treat me, even though, because sometimes people treat girls that are pretty different than girls that are not so pretty. Did you notice that in high school?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I really at the time didn't look at myself as I was the pretty girl and I was a smart girl. I was actually trying to look at where do I fit in. Yeah. And not recognizing how much I actually did fit in. So many different things. But I look back now and it's like, yeah, I was kind of the pretty girl and I had nothing to complain about. And, you know, I was always had the nice proportion. And as I grow older, people are like, you've not had a nose job. And that's really the color of your lips. It's like, and maybe I kind of was the pretty girl back then, you know, but I never really came from that perspective. But in hindsight, I think that's really what it was. I got attention on different levels and right. Not really. Yeah, yeah.
Right. And so now fast forward to you as a young adult, what are those other challenges that came into your life?
Being okay with really being different and expressing myself and really growing into, it's really, my job isn't to make everybody understand me. And it's really okay if people don't. And just coming from what makes me happy, not from, you know, something that hurts other people, but where am I receiving joy and where am I giving joy to other people? And really looking at what fulfills that for me. Where does it mean travel? Does it mean, you know, teaching people? Is it my opportunity to learn or just experience life? That's all more so that way in my adulthood, just still kind of looking different. I've moved away from my family, you know, 20 years ago now, I guess. And, you know, I've always been just this little lone pioneer carving the trail.
Right. So as an adult now, what do you struggle with as an adult?
Well, physically, I struggle with my weight. There's a lot of instances around the weight, but also just knowing more about who I am. How am I reacting? How am I responding to life around me? You know, when I get criticized or when something gets reflected back to me, you know, how do I own that? You know, like, what am I learning in this moment? You know, what just happened? And, you know, where do I treat people in that way? Or where do I treat myself? Right. And so there's, you know, I kind of stop myself in every instance, especially if it's something that really smarts me. And I'm like, wow, I don't really like what's going on here. I ask myself that, what's happening? You know, what am I learning? Where do I do this to others? Where do I do this to myself? And I always find an answer and a way to grow in that.
Right. So if somebody criticizes you, and so how do you respond?
Well, I typically just take it in. And, you know, it's not usually in my nature at this point to challenge what that is, because I understand now that it has to do with their perception, and people's perception comes through their filters and their wounding and where they need their own healing and where they need to really understand themselves more. So it just kind of like hits me and rolls off. And, you know, because the more I know myself, the more I can look at, well, do I own that comment? You know, do I wear that accusation? Right. And if I do, then I need to look at, okay, how do I change this up a little bit? How do I show up in a better way?
I know for me, when people criticize me, I decide, am I going to let this criticism stick to me or just and just bounce off me? And if you are doing it to hurt me, you know, then it's like, I just say, I don't have to catch everything you throw at me when people are being nasty, right? But if it's a real criticism and what they're saying to me is a way for me to grow and learn and become a better person, I'll let that stick and think about it and find ways to change. So tell me a time maybe in your life where somebody throws something at you where you said to yourself, oh, I never saw it that way. I'm going to do certain things to be a better person.
You know, I had reflected to me, you know, quite a bit about just my approach. I'm rarely gray. I'm very black and white. And, you know, sometimes my approach can be not as gentle as it can be, even though coming from me, it's just like, here's what you need to hear. And, you know, and this is how I feel, or this is how I'm reacting in this moment. So I've had to learn several times that, you know, I have to kind of sit back and look at how does this person need to really hear the message so that they don't just put their barriers up and don't hear me, but so that they just, how you describe, how do I take this in and how do I grow from it? So learning how to express myself in a very effective way has been something that is, you know, a challenge, like learning the different levels of how to communicate.
Right. So now I know you're an expert in helping people learn about, you know, who they are. And so why is it important that people know who they are and know themselves?
You know, it just for the conversation we were just having, it's just like, are you being affected? Do you know that these comments are actually you, or are they not you? And the more we understand who we are and what our strengths and weaknesses are, or where our opportunities are, I don't even look at them as weaknesses. It's an opportunity to look at, well, how do I respond in these situations? And, you know, how do I grow from them? Because I don't think there's any such thing as a mistake. I think we're really here to experience everything about this life. And if we're not taking action and we're not hitting a wall every once in a while, or whether it's just our own, you know, our process and developing our body in a certain way, or just you know, our job and our career, if we're not hitting a few walls, how do we know what our next move is?
Right.
You know, so I think there's a lot of room for, okay, great, one of these times I'm going to hit a window and I'm going to be able to go through. And I think that that's a beautiful part of our development here. And the more walls we hit, the more we know ourselves, the more windows that open and doors that we walk through, the more direction we get. And really the key is stay in action, stay out of your head, stay in action. You're going to get your results and your answers to your questions and what you're doing by staying in action.
Right. Staying in action. Because, you know, I really believe in life that if, as you said, if we don't grow, you know, and sometimes hit that brick wall, you know, then how do we grow? How do we know that, you know, we're progressing? We only progress when we hit that brick wall and we figure out ways to go around it or go over it. Right.
Right.
You know, it's easy for people to stay in their comfort zone. You know, I've always done things this way, you know, afraid, because fear, you know, and I know all about fear, because I was one person, I was afraid of everything, you know, and then, you know, and it's until, Gina, it's until I step into my fear that I found success, even this, with this podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because I thought I sound stupid, and, you know, all the little negative things that goes in the back of your mind, the negative self-doubt and talk. You know, and because I said, I'm not going to just stick in my little box that I put, you know, people put on me, or I put on myself. I'm just going to break out of that box, you know, bust through the wall.
Well, you know, one of my biggest resistances over the last, I think my whole life, one of my biggest resistances is actually being seen. And most of my work, or what I've done, and my successes have always been operating things from behind the scenes and making, you know, big magic happen in my events and so on. But I've always found myself in front of hundreds or not thousands of people, when that's really not where my comfort zone has ever been. So being seen has been a big step for me, because that's my comfort zone is not being seen, even though I've always find myself in front of large groups of people. So
right.
that's a piece for me too, but tackling the fear, I mean, honestly, you know, there's different levels of resistance that come in. And the more you know yourself, the more you're looking at, is that fear, is that healthy resistance that once I get to the other side, I look back and say, what was all that? That was nothing, you know?
Like,
or is it that resistance that comes in where it's just like, that's just not the direction to go. So the more you stay in action, the more you're going to be able to discern, well, what is that resistance? Is it the side of me that's like, no, that's just not your direction? Or is it the side of me that's just, you know, rejecting change, right?
Right.
So there's healthy resistances and then there's unhealthy. But the more you stay in action, the more you start knowing what's the instinct behind that resistance.
So. Oh, definitely. You know, I mean, even as a former Olympian, you know, I'm out there and people are watching me run, you know, yet I didn't want to be up there. I didn't want to, because I thought I want to be criticized by people, you know? Yeah. And so, and then I remember Lisa Nichols went to her conference and she said, What other people think about you is none of your business, you know? And that really helped me to push me, say, this is Esme, this is who I am. I love myself. Yeah. You don't like who I am, that's okay, because it doesn't affect me. Yeah. Right. You know, so it's really good when you can just say, you know, like, just like Regina, be out there, and it doesn't matter, you know, if you think you have a problem with your weight or with me, how I speak or how I look, it doesn't matter. Right. Be yourself authentically. Right. And then when you accept yourself and you just put yourself out there, others will accept you too. They're going to say, oh, they're going to see that your beauty, the inner beauty, the glow. Right. That comes out.
Right.
Right. It comes out.
Yeah, me exactly. When you're standing in your power. Yeah, in your power and in your truth, absolutely. Yeah.
Right. So, Gina, what is your passion?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I've just embarked on a co-founder or partnership with what's known as today Illumination Tours. And it actually combines three of my passions. It combines my love for metaphysics and advanced spirituality, which is, you know, my background the last 10 or 11 years with the Modern Mystery School and teaching, you know, all the ancient wisdoms from the King Solomon lineage, my event background, because I used to have two huge event companies. I mean, everything from, you know, sporting events to family vacations to weddings. I mean, I have a whole background that's crazy. And then my love for travel. And so being somebody that can create amazing experiences for people, you know, through my event background, you know, being able to bring in the metaphysics and give people a look at life from a different perspective, and then do it in sacred spaces or just traveling to really wonderful places around the world. It's like, those are three of my big passions, and I'm loving it. And so Peru is this March and Belize in October. And, you know,
so what's it? So Peru. So then you put on courses in Peru and Belize.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be like, you know, 5 days or 10 days of we're sitting in classroom and, you know, at the foot of Machu Picchu, but it's going to be a few related higher teachings that are coming in. And Peru is all about the keys to heaven. And that has to do with the sacred geometries and the energies I can activate and bring into people's lives, and they can create, you know, amazing energies around them and live in, you know, more celestial, beautiful energy. And, you know, it's about letting go and bringing in and, you know, formulas for manifestation so they can consciously create their life. You know, we all thought at one time we want to have married children, have a house, have a career. And we all thought about it, but did we ever consciously create that for ourselves? It all showed up, but we didn't consciously create it. So what is your deadline for the next things you want to create or that you're thinking about or dreaming about? So how do you consciously create? What are the energies behind how to do that? What's the formulas for that? So those are beautiful pieces that I bring in, and each tour is different as to how we bring in the teachings. And my partner, Eva Vanari, is, you know, she comes from a health background and is about the, you know, the metabolism of the body. And so everything about our experience here has to do with, you know, the mind, body, spirit, the soul, and it as a package, and what our, and how our spirit is existing in this existence. And of course, the health of the body has a lot to do with it too.
Right.
How do we get the optimal out of the body? And you know all that from all your experience with sports. I mean, there's a lot of mind and body that has to connect, and your passion, your heart, you know, your drive. What is your why? You know, it's a lot of hard work for to be an Olympian. What is your why? There's got to be a why. Everyone's got to find their why.
There has to be a why, because, you know, for you to get up early in the morning and work out, you know, go back and then go back again. And then when you go through the injuries, and it has to be a massive why to keep you going.
There has to be, because that keeps you in action. Yeah. So helping people find their why, you know, why are you here and here? And everybody wants to know, what's this life about? You know, it's not concept anymore that people know there's more to them and there's more to this existence. And when I can bring in those higher teachings for them, you know, open up, you know, spiritual DNA and different things in their bodies to plug them into the information of who they are, things revolutionize for people in their lives. It's a whole different foundation and a beautiful opportunity for them.
Right. So how do you plug them into their why and, you know, their existence? How do you do that?
Well, There's a technology or a methodology that was created in the lineage about 3,500 years ago. And during Solomon's time, when he was the current lineage holder, like today we call the Solomonic lineage the Modern Mystery School. And we've been teaching publicly for about 22 years at this point. But that the methodology that was created about 3,500 years ago is known, we call it today a life activation. But what it does is it actually activates the dormant DNA. And we have about 24, we have 24 strands. Two are, you know, who we are, all of our physical proclivities and so on. But the other 22 house the information that we brought into this lifetime with us. So, you know, we chose our experience here to, you know, to planet Earth the same way we chose our last vacation. Why do we want to go there? What's exciting about it? What do I have to do to prepare? But, you know, we're here in planet Earth. So why did I want to go there? What do I want to go on experience? You know, how do I prepare? So all of that information is in that dormant DNA. And we received that information when we were in the spiritual frequency. So it has to be, when we come into this physical body, that has to be opened up. It has to be physically engaged and brought into the physical body. And then that book of, or that whole ability of information becomes a part of your, what we would consider your operating system. So as you're moving through life, you are energetically connected to your purpose and your why for being here. But because you're plugged into it, you don't have as much of a playing field to walk back and forth in trying to figure it out. And there's not as many shiny objects that are just distractions. The shiny objects, after you have that book of information available to you, after that activation happens and it opens it up, then, you know, that dormant information is a part of who you are. So you start moving toward it, and the shiny objects that start coming in are more relevant. So it's that goes back to that action piece, stay in action, right? But when you have all of your potential, all of that spiritual DNA opened up and all that information a part of who you are, now the journey has the ability to begin. You're not lost anymore, even though you don't wake up the next day and go, man, that's my why, that's my purpose. I mean, everybody has a different kind of awakening to it, but it's safe to say that, you know, once that ability is locked into you, where it's not concept anymore, it's physically a part of your structure, then you really have an expedited way to get to really hit your purpose and your potential. Then some of the other higher teachings come in. You know, we have a foundational class that we call it Empower Thyself at this point. But, there's 10 amazing sections that come into that class. And one of them is, you know, why are we here? Like, what is the reason for this? What's going on before? How did we get here? You know, all of these higher teachings that answer the questions that have been out there and lingering for so long. And it is a huge foundation change for people. There's an initiation, or what's known as a transfer of energy, that actually expands your energy body so that you have a capability of impacting so much greater. So, you know, and the authentic tools of power, you know, all of that combined is an amazing foundation to really, you know, rock you into the direction you need to go.
Right. So Gina, so why do you think you're here?
Why? Oh, I don't share why I'm here.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm working on that right now. I've got a lot of pieces in place. I hold my cards and my energy very close on this because as a magician, so to speak, you work internally and in silence for a long time when you're working on things before you're ready to launch them out. And it was in 2014 that I had my epiphany as to, oh, so that's what I'm here to do.
Yeah.
All right. And then as soon as I started, when I you know, had that realization, then all of a sudden all the pieces started falling into place. It's like, oh, I met that person in conversation. It's like, ah, you have my connection for this and you have my connection for that.
Right.
And so as soon as you start stepping into it, the pieces start falling in. I mean, it's quite a well-oiled machine, but I had to stay in action in order to make that happen. And I had to learn myself while I was in action in order to make that happen. So when that information came in to say, here's one of the things you're here to do, my ego didn't talk me out of it. Right. So I was in a clear enough space with myself and a clear enough understanding of myself that, you know, I knew the information was legitimate.
Right.
You know? So it didn't confuse me. It shocked me. And I thought, I thought that was behind me. That's not a piece. Like, no. What you've been doing is only a little piece of it. Ha ha ha.
Right. Right. You
so,
know what?
Yeah. So,
I remember when I was just searching, I was, you know, depressed. I was in a marriage for 24 years and we're just going two separate directions. And, you know, I was, you know, just depressed. I've gained weight. And I was like, what's my purpose? You know, I didn't know what my purpose was, you know. And then when my mom got sick
And I went to Toronto to see my mom and, you know, spend a couple, you know, like a couple of times, days with her. And then it was just an epiphany that it clicked and something goes, ask your mom, why did she call you Sunshine? You know, and my mom, you know, said, your godmother called you Sunshine because she saw a light in you. And that opened, that changed everything. I thought, well, I have to find my light. You know, so I went on a journey. Yeah, I went on a journey of discovery of who I am. And, you know, because I knew that, you know, I mean, I had a little bit champion. I'm an Olympian. Here I am, you know, depressed. And I said, my mom, who had a really, really tough, difficult life, if I told her that I was depressed and, you know, life, you know, whoa, woe is me, woe is Esme, life didn't treat me well, you know, then she said, Esme, shame on you. Look how I struggled to get you to have to live a better life, better than I had. And why are you wasting it? So I went on a discovery to find who I was. When I found it, I said, I'm going to shine my light. And when I found my light, Gina, I wanted to share with everybody. You know, I wanted to share, to tell people, this is how you step into your power. This is how you have self-confidence. But it's about action. You always go back to action. You have to do something. Do things that you're afraid of. And then when you do it, you know, you find success, move on and move on and move on. And when I found the little things that made me happy and made me, allowed me to step into my power, I thought, yes, this is the reason why I'm here, to help others. It's not about me. It's not about me. I had to learn the lessons, right? So I can empower other women, you know, to empower them to say, you know what, Esme, I'm an Olympian, but, you know, I'm not better than you. I have my struggles. You know, but this is how I came out of it. So I understand you have to always be in action. Don't sit there. Because if you sit there, you're going to get run over.
we never find answers in our mind. we just keep asking our questions. I kind of laugh and I equate it to right and left brain wars. It's like, you know, your brain's just going to keep talking back and forth through itself. Just go out there and take a step and you'll know your answer right away.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, for sure. So Gina, with all the wisdom that you have now, you know, bring it back to the younger self. What words of wisdom would you tell yourself?
My younger self? Take more risks, you know. Treat yourself and others just in a beautiful way and, gosh, just live life, explore, experience. There is no such thing as fear. There's so much more. I mean, I know that my life's on a journey and a path and there's a lot of predetermination and so on. But, yeah, there would have been a lot more things in my life that I would have done had I not, you know, felt that there was a ceiling or a reason not to do it or some sort of a shame around it or not acceptable around it. Yeah. Live your life. There is no such thing as fear.
Right. Exactly. Fear is in your mind. Right. But it's such a strong thing. It's such a strong emotion. It, you know, it can really pull you down and prevent you from living the life or that you're meant to live.
Yeah. And when I decided to move out to California full time, I had a couple of responses. I, you know, my grandmother said, well, it's about damn time. And because I've been going back and forth and I had other people say, are you sure you want to leave all this behind? And I'm like, I'm not happy. There's happiness and joy in what I'm creating and you know, with my studios and my event company and when I can see the development of these wonderful bodies and these minds and just them being able to get to their next level and realizing that they've grown into themselves and they have more confidence. Total joy in that, absolute joy in that. But it, you know, just I just got so big for the area that, you know, a different color bow on the same thing gets old really fast. Yes. And I just thought, you know, to do this until what, when I'm 80, like we're supposed to be, you know, it's like, this is just not one, another one of these things that I stepped in was like, you know, you're really good at this. Like, yeah, I'm good at a lot of things I step into. And it's just, that doesn't mean I want to do that when I grow up, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Own what you're good at.
You know, I know what I'm good at and I can turn a lot of things into gold if I choose to, but is there joy for me and joy for others in it? And how sustainable is it? So,
oh, for sure. For sure.
And I like the fact that I have a resume that makes me look like I'm 200-300 years old, you know, because it's like, you know, I love it. Like, what are you doing now? Like, what's, you know, I'm that person that walks in and people are like, so what are you up to now? It's like, well, I just happened to have started and co-founded a tour company. Woo. And it's like, whoa. Okay. So I just, you know, people just look at me like, what, how are you doing all this stuff? Right. It's like, just go do it. Just do it. You know,
yeah, how are you doing it? Because you stay in action.
Yeah, just do it. Try it out. It's gonna be trial and error. You know, bring your best self to the game, and you'll never fail. You right. may want to do it differently the next way, but bring your best self to the game, and there's no failure.
Right. So, Gina, so tell me about your legacy. When you're gone from this earth, what would people say about you? What would you like them to say about you regarding your legacy?
Gosh. You know, I've never really thought about that other than I would hope that every person that I meet, and I know that every person that I meet, I grow from and I learn from, and that's always really exciting when I get to work with somebody because they have just as much for me as I have for them. I hope that whatever effect I've had on people, that it's made them grow. It's made them know that they're lovable and that they have what it takes to do what they want, to, you know, that they've grown because of our time together, that they've loved themselves more, that they love life more, that they receive skills and knowledge or tools that have given them a greater life or a foundation to have what they want.
So your legacy is that making a positive impact on others, everybody that you meet, and that's awesome. So Gina, what would you like to share with our audience today?
Find your joy. And your joy is not outside of you. Happiness are fleeting moments. Find your joy. And your joy starts when you start stepping into action and that journey begins. Find your joy.
Stepping into action and that journey begins. Yeah. I love that, Gina.
The journey begins, yeah.
So, Gina, thank you so much. That was an awesome interview. You were great.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Fellow Canadian, I love it.
Oh, yes, that's right. Fellow Canadian. Yeah. So ladies and gentlemen,
our little flag.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, you can learn more about Gina on esmelawrence.com. Thank you for listening to Sprinting to Success podcast. Have an amazing day.
My name is Gina Almgren. You can reach me at Mastery Secrets on Facebook. The trick for the day, the life, the love that you want is to just stay in action. Keep your life in action. Stay in flow. There are no mistakes. A wall just means there's a window around the corner. And I love this life. And sprinting to success with Esme Lawrence is the way to go.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Canadians. Yes. Thank you so much.
Canadians. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Sprinting to Success with your host, Esme Lawrence. Please be sure to subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes. For more information about Esme and to hear other episodes of the show, go to esmelawrence.com. The information in this podcast is not intended as a substitute for professional or medical treatment or advice. Always seek advice from your healthcare provider.